The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Monday edition of The Ride Home. Good to see everybody. Kath, looking good today?
Thank you so much,
pleasure.
John.
Pleasure. Mike, you as well. Looking all
thanks, brother.
Bright out and bushy tail.
Well, it's because it's Monday and we're trying to put our best foot forward.
Plus, right. It's radio. We always look good on the radio. Don't we?
You know it.
Holy smokes.
Listen, you know, it is time for us to start talking about the fact that we're going to be video streaming starting soon.
Oh,
so
right.
Not only are you going to be able to listen to The Ride Home every day, you're going to be able to watch it.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
I better start shaving.
I know.
Please.
Why do we have to do that?
Well, corporate says we should. As good corporate citizens,
gosh.
We'll follow along.
Yeah,
so
we're
going to be on video.
Okay.
When's that happening?
Soon.
Someday.
They keep saying it's soon, but
there's
I don't know when it is yet.
Right.
I don't know when it is. Anyway, just keep your eyes out for that. But we're all excited.
Oh.
Because
why?
It's National Dog Day.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's International Dog Day.
I didn't know. I thought it was National Dog
Worldwide Day. Worldwide dogs all day, every day, today.
Oh, that's such a good day.
Excellent day, yeah.
We salute Gus today.
We do salute Gus.
Gussie.
Yeah, Gus, you know. Yeah, Gus was my... Well, you know, he's my Facebook dog. I post photos. I think I probably post more photos of my dog than I do just about anything else.
That's fine.
I think it is.
Because he's pretty
safe,
absolutely a glorious creature.
He is.
Gus is a low rider.
Yeah, Gus was given to me. He was in search of a home. He's a Cardigan Welsh Corgi. Now, this is something that I would never be able to afford on my own. But someone said, would you like to have one? I was like, oh, please. So he's a beast. He's a fabulous dog.
And Gus is how old?
Gus is 14.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
Yeah. He's been around the block a few times, although lately he's been around the block less because he's got some bad legs.
He does. Mm-hmm. But he can hear everything.
Yes. He's got some big old ears.
His ears are gigantic.
Yeah.
I just love him.
So today, like on social media, is one of those fun days where people are like posting photos of their dogs.
Yeah.
You've never had a dog?
Never. In my life, have I had a dog.
And totally missing out.
This is what I was thinking about.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
I was thinking about the years I was growing up and how only one of my friends came from a family that had a dog.
What?
Now, wait. And then I started thinking, like expanding the circle a bit. I started thinking about my neighborhood growing up. I can't think of a single dog in my neighborhood when I was growing up.
What's that all about?
And I won't give out their name, except this one family that lived at the end of the street.
Yeah.
They had seven children and seven dogs.
Seven dogs? Oh, that's way too many.
But you're concerned about the dogs, but not the kids.
No, that's way too
many.
Seven
kids and seven
dogs. No, because I'm one of seven kids. I get that, but seven dogs along with the seven
and
kids?
All of them lived in the house.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, but that's the only dog I can think
of.
Growing up, now, in my neighborhood now, there are probably 25 dogs.
Oh, good.
Do you think people have more dogs now
than
definitely.
They had when you guys were growing up?
Without a doubt,
Yeah.
It's become sort of a thing, right? Everyone's got a dog. Everyone's out walking around.
I'm not unique.
Yeah.
That was not the case when we were kids.
In your neighborhood.
In my neighborhood.
Everybody had dogs.
Is there a dog park in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh?
Sure, there's.
Oh, there's a zillion dog parks. Sure.
What's a dog park?
A place specifically for you to take your dog and to mingle with other dog owners.
Right.
Personally, I don't like the dog park idea.
Why?
Because I don't want to talk to other guys about their dogs. I don't. What's your dog's name, Tippy? How old's Tippy? What do you do? I mean, I don't really care. I like my dog. That's about it.
I want you to like your dog.
I'm fine with my dog.
But you don't feel like we need to share that?
I really don't. Right. And plus, you know, it's like a space for your dog to run around. If your dog's social and wants to run around with other dogs, great. A lot of dogs don't get along with other dogs. So I don't want to do that either. All of a sudden, you get a dog fight. Who wants a dog fight? Then you're responsible for the dog fight?
Wasn't there a take your dog to work day here?
Never here. because believe me, I'd be on that.
Well,
a
there's
hot minute.
One person who's in leadership. We can say Teresa's name. Teresa's brought her dog here. Her mastiff.
She runs the building.
Which that's why she's
every
allowed
day
to bring her dog. I guess. I mean,
no.
Her dog is very adorable.
There it is. Yeah, but no. Apparently, they'll stop you down there at the security desk.
Oh, if you bring your dog.
Right.
Mike, did you grow up with a dog?
Oh yeah. My whole entire childhood.
Me too.
I had a dog. Yeah,
me too. Well, I'm surprised you don't have a dog now.
I live in an apartment, which...
No dogs.
Yeah, no dogs allowed, unfortunately. But my son is like, every time he sees a dog when we're out for a walk, he's like, I have to pet the dog.
Yeah, of course.
So we got to get him a dog. And my wife, she grew up with... Her dog just passed away, actually.
Her family dog.
Her family dog. It was 17.
Nice.
It was a Yorkie.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. When I left our family home, we had this dog... that we found when we were kids, we found this dog. And so this was my dog mostly growing up. His name was Chip. Okay, not a great name. But I left the family home. I lived, different places. And then my parents were moving. They left the area. They moved to Florida. And so this dog became mine while I was like post-college years. And I don't know how, but one day I was like on the boulevard in Bloomfield, Baum Boulevard, and there used to be a 7-Eleven on Baum Boulevard, and I'm walking by the Baum Boulevard, the 7-Eleven, and there's my neighborhood, there's my childhood dog, Chip, sitting outside the 7-Eleven.
What?
I'm like, because I live like a few blocks from there, and I'm like, there's my dog. It was so completely and totally incongruent, because I'm like, he was my dog when I was 11. All of a sudden, I'm like, 21, and he's hanging outside the 7-Eleven.
Are you sure it was him?
I knew it was him. I was like, hey, he walked over to me. We walked home together.
Wait, what happened to Chip?
I had a roommate, and the roommate let Chip out, and Chip just kind of wandered around the neighborhood. And I was like, oh, there's Chip.
Oh, my God.
Wait, how long between when you had last seen Chip and 7-Eleven?
No, he was living with me.
He was living with you. Well, that's not. Yeah. I thought you meant that there were like years separating you.
Oh, no. It was still my parents. I left. I left my parents' home. Then they left the entire Pittsburgh area. So they were like, we're not taking this dog. Oh, I know what happened. No, they moved to Florida and the dog got eaten alive by
mosquitoes.
All this. It like came back. Like, I went to visit them and they were like, please take Chip with you back to Pittsburgh. Because he was like all mangy. It was like some Florida,
nasty fungus.
Something on him. He looked horrible, horrible. So I was like, yeah, I'll take him back. I mean, I really didn't have room in my life for the dog because I was, busy most of the time. I was, out there. But I took him because I loved him. But then all of a sudden, you're walking down the street and there he's in front of the 7-Eleven. You go, hey, Chip. That's he's gotten crazy. Around. It's a long way from Swissville, my friend. What are you doing?
I don't. Wow. Okay. All right. So
national. Happy national.
I don't know
national
what to say to that, but happy international.
That's
dog.
My dog. We made a left turn there.
That's crazy.
Coming up.
Yeah,
next,
what do you got?
This week in the nation's capital, Greg Clugston joined us, SRN News White House correspondent. Will the next G7 summit be held at the Florida Trump Golf Resort? We'll find out next.
Okay.
101.5 WORD.
Here's Dr. Charles Stanley.
Think about how God cares for you and me. Not only would he reveal himself in nature and in our conscience and give us this written word, but he's given to us the living word. That is, God chose to come to earth and walk among men so that you and I would really know what God is like.
Hear the series, The God Who Cares, this week on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley.
Tomorrow morning at 8:30 on 101.5 WORD.
Imagine doing one thing that gives you an entirely different perspective about your place in the world. Think it would be worth it? Dennis Prager here inviting you to join me for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour, a tour through the land of Israel in December 2019. Come with me to get firsthand insight into Israel's fascinating past and promising future. Walk the ancient temple steps, sail on the Sea of Galilee, and so many more unforgettable moments. Return home inspired, renewed, and empowered. If you've ever dreamed of seeing Israel, this is your opportunity. With expert guides and important lectures at key sites, we'll be together in the comfort and safety of luxurious accommodations the whole time. Join me for a life-changing adventure to give you a renewed sense of purpose.
Get more details about the trip or sign up now to join other Word FM listeners on the Stand With Israel tour by going to wordfm.com/Israel. That's wordfm.com/Israel.
You know Labor Day signals the unofficial end of summer, but not the end of your outdoor projects.
Lowe's helps you do it right and helps you save with Labor Day deals throughout the store. Shop now and get 2 bags of Stay Green Potting Mix for $12. And keep your lawn looking neat and trim with a Craftsman 2-cycle 17-inch gas string trimmer, now $20 off at just $119. Whatever's still on your to-do list this Labor Day, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 8/28. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. U.S. only.
Hey, employers, are you tired of paying outrageous premiums for health insurance? How about a plan that allows you to go to any hospital in the country, a plan that pays you back every year? Now, whether you want a top-of-the-line plan or just enough to keep you legal, Marley Financial, they have a custom-made plan just for you. As a business owner, you owe it to yourself to stay ahead of the ever-changing marketplace, and Marley has been on the cutting edge of new and improved health plans for both individuals and businesses for years. And only Marley Financial offers health plans that actually pay you back. So go to MarleyFG.com for unbiased, top-notch plans from any carrier in Pennsylvania. Plans that'll save you money and give you an edge over the competition. They even offer custom business solutions to reduce your liability and overhead as you grow. They're truly one of the most innovative agencies in the nation. So give them a call now. It's Marley Financial, 724-884-1496 or online at MarleyFG.com.
Every Monday, our first guest out of the chute is Greg Clugston. Greg is the SRN News White House correspondent. Greg, welcome back. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had an enjoyable weekend.
Yes, happy Monday. Good to be with you, John and Kathy.
Very nice.
Greg, for all the criticisms that are leveled against the president, I have got to give it to him. He took so many questions at the G7. I couldn't believe how long he sat there and talked to reporters from all around the world.
Yeah, we don't get kind of the formal press conference environment or atmosphere with this president very often. Often we see him as he's departing the White House with the helicopter sort of roaring in the background. And then of course sometimes at the photo ops in the White House and the Oval Office. But in terms of a long format event like that, that's what happened in France before he left there earlier today to fly back here to Washington.
Right.
And he started off with what they refer to as sort of an international 2-and-2. He was standing there with the French president. Each president took 2 questions from reporters representing their country. But then Macron left, and the president stayed, and all told, he took questions for more than an hour.
Wow.
On a lot of meaty subjects.
Very nice. So let's talk about China. That seems to be the meatiest of them all right now.
Yeah, I mean, talk about topsy-turvy. It's been up and down between the U.S. and China on the issue of trade for many months and weeks now, but especially over the last week, where the president late last week announced that he was going to be upping and adding new tariffs on Chinese goods. And of course, the global markets, especially here in the U.S., responding to every piece of negative news and positive news about the trade talks, which makes for a seesaw on Wall Street and in other global financial markets as well. And so that brought a lot of concern to the table when the leaders of the G7, the group of 7 leaders, of which the United States is a part, they did talk about the instability of all of that. And so the president announced, it was announced either late last night or early this morning, that the trade talks with China are back on again now. The Wall Street here in this country today responded very positively. I think the Dow was up over 200 points today as a result. So we're probably not done with the uncertainty and the up and down of the markets, but the latest that we have, John and Kathy, is that there is a signal from China that a deal wants to be done, although the president continues to say, I'm not going to sign off on any deal. It needs to be a good deal, a balanced deal for the U.S. and China.
Nice.
Greg, give us a comparison. Would you, I get, of course, I focus on the way this president does things and the way this president talks about trade and how public it is. And I guess it's influenced by how much I read his tweets. But I wonder if you can look back to previous administrations. How did other presidents handle trade and potential trade wars? Was it as public and up and down as it seems now?
No, I mean, the short answer is no. And typically you have, and the United States with the Trump administration does have a U.S. trade representative. There are trade officials in this administration at a lower level that do work with their counterparts in China and in other countries when it comes to dealing with trade. And so that structure is still in place, but this president takes a very hands-on and a very proactive approach and a very public approach to trade policy. Part of it is because of his style of using social media. Also, part of it is boosted by the confidence that he has a business sense, a common sense that he believes that past presidents have not used when it comes to seeking what is best for the United States when it comes to a fair trade agreement.
Right.
And the president, he was sort of challenged on that by a Washington Post reporter at the press conference today, asking about his the way he negotiates, his style of negotiation. And he said, look, I'm sorry, this is just how I negotiate. And he believes it has served him well as a private businessman, and he also thinks that style has served him well in 2.5 years in office as the president. And so the answer to your question, Kathy, is that he does it very publicly. There still are people behind the scenes doing their work with their counterparts in other countries, mm-hmm. but the president is the main focus on these talks.
What about the president's tendency or decision? It's not really a tendency. He chooses to blame prior presidents for trade deals that he sees as negative, especially when he was talking about Germany today. He said, you know, Germany's gotten the best of us for all this time. It's not Germany's fault. It's our fault.
Yeah, that's a refrain we've heard really since the beginning of his term in office. Whether you're talking about NATO, whether you're talking about North Korea, the European Union, China, Germany today, as you mentioned, the president believes that the free trade approach the United States has taken is the right approach in terms of free trade, but he believes that America has come out on the short end of the deal. And he often portrays it as being taken advantage of by countries, many of whom are our allies in many respects, whether militarily or through business ties or other means as well. And so the president says, you know, especially at an event like this, when he is sitting down with these other, G7 leaders, all of whom are allies of the United States, he will say respectfully, you know, we have not had the best of deals based on what the previous presidents have done. So that's sort of a new approach. Not that any president of the United States has never criticized a predecessor. Of course, that has happened. But he goes back to that well often on a lot of different foreign policy issues. And there would be any number of supporters of the president who would say, you know what, he's right. Look, for example, at North Korea. He has taken a completely different approach to North Korea because if you look at the previous 3, 4, 5 presidents before Donald Trump, they all tried the same approach and it got nowhere. So a lot of people are saying, hey, I like it because Trump's giving it a new try.
Very nice. Well, say what you will. I mean, and three of us clearly were not economists, but there's a lot of stirring of the pot, and I think probably in the end it'll come out well.
Well, it could. I guess it remains to be seen, and that's one thing that the president often says. Asked if there's going to be a trade deal, he says, well, maybe we'll have one, maybe we won't. Maybe this will work, maybe it won't. He often says that and even referred to that as being his go-to answer, and it's an honest answer because obviously we don't know what the future holds on these issues.
Right.
But the president says he does sincerely believe that the Chinese want to make a good faith deal on trade with the U.S. He hopes that it will happen. But as he also said, we don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
SRN News White House correspondent Greg Clugston is with us. So, Greg, let's talk about foreign affairs as well. In today's papers and over the weekend, there's been talk about France and Iran and the president's involvement with that. Talk about that international swirl.
Yeah, this was interesting because the Iranian foreign minister showed up on the sidelines of the G7 summit in France, and that was with the okay and the approval of the French president. And so that was an effort by the president, Emmanuel Macron, to really have Iran be a part of the agenda, because if you remember, a lot of these countries, along with the U.S., back during the latter years of the Obama administration, signed on to the Iran nuclear deal, which Donald Trump said was, you know, was horrible, and he withdrew the U.S. last year from that accord. And so you've got France and other countries that still want to piece together an international agreement, an accord that will hold Iran accountable when it comes especially to its nuclear weapons program. And so at the news conference this afternoon or earlier today, you had the French president saying that he would like to see in the matter of weeks a sit-down, face-to-face meeting between President Trump and the president of Iran. Now, the president... President Trump said that he would be open to that, although he was more cautious in the timeline, saying something may not happen immediately. But he said, look, Iran has to be a good player. They have to agree to no nuclear weapons. And he continued to criticize the previous Iran agreement, which he felt, again, was not in the best interests of the United States or the world. So we'll have to watch this one to see if there is any sort of forthcoming meeting between the president and the leader of Iran, which would be very, very interesting.
Greg Clugston with us, SRN News White House correspondent. Hey, Greg, last week we talked about the... the potential offer from the president looking to buy Greenland. And when we left the air, basically what he had said publicly was that this was not a front burner issue, right? This was just something, it was something that got leaked and it was something he'd talked about and it was strategic, but it was not that big of a deal. But within the next couple of days, Greg, all of a sudden he cancels a trip to Denmark because they weren't interested in talking about the sale.
Right. But then in today's New York Times, the headline is, "We should buy Greenland. Trump isn't the only one to recognize the country's strategic importance. Beijing does too." So this crazy idea is still getting some traction.
It is, and it started off as kind of this funny, fun, humorous story of, oh, Trump really wants to buy Greenland. And then he acknowledges, yeah, I've raised the issue. And, of course, there is some historical precedent. Back in the 1940s, the U.S. had considered and approached the idea as well. So it wasn't an entirely novel idea. But the president last week, he did say, even though he was not putting it on the front burner, said, look, there is a strategic value in pursuing or at least discussing this kind of idea. Then, of course, you had leaders in Denmark and Greenland saying this was absurd, and then Trump didn't like how they responded to him. And then he goes and announces on Twitter that he's not going to be making a planned stop in Denmark now.
Ouch, ouch.
So that was a little bit of on the personal side. He doesn't have the thickest of skins at times, the president, and so he sort of let his unhappiness be shown there. But now, as John points out, you've got, you know, these other voices saying, hey, you know, maybe this idea of buying Greenland isn't such a crazy idea after all because of its strategic importance globally.
All right, so speaking of crazy ideas, next we hear that perhaps Trump wants to hold the 2020 G7 summit at his Florida golf resort. Tell us about the details here.
Well, yeah, this emerged earlier today at the end of the G7 in France, and this annual summit rotates among the member countries year by year, and so the United States has its turn next year. And so President Trump will be the host, and he said that the administration, the government, has looked at a dozen different locations around the country as possible venues.
And they're all booked. Every one of them is already booked.
That's right. There's no openings in Pittsburgh, for example.
The Grand Canyon, totally full.
<Yeah. laughs> So it just happens that, hey, right by the Miami airport is the Doral Trump Golf Resort.
What?
Yeah. Right there in Miami. And it's so funny because the president, at the press conference today, when he was asked about this, he spends like the next 2 or 3 minutes, you know, talking about the acreage available and the ballrooms and the bungalows and all of the amenities that his golf course would provide.
You're right. Just happens to have a brochure, right?
Right. He's like the concierge.
Here's my
brochure
there, yeah.
I was waiting for him to give the website or the phone number.
I mean, he is a businessman, whether it's Iran, he's doing his job.
And understandably so, and in my view, legitimately so, the president was asked, well, you know, is this right that, you know, you would stand to profit
right.
personally from having an international summit at one of your family-owned properties?
That's a good question.
And it is a good question. And he brushed it off and said that he doesn't expect to make money. He has no intention of making money. And then he went on to say, and he didn't back this up with any evidence, although he said in the future he may do so, he said that that being president will actually cost him between $3 and $5 billion.
Come on.
And so whether he's talking about lost business at his properties mm-hmm. or lawsuits or whatever, okay. we're not entirely sure, but that's a pretty big price tag.
That seems like that's an exaggerated monetary figure. Well, though we do forget that he's not taking any payment for the services that he's rendering to the country.
For better or worse, yeah.
Right. He's taking just the presidential salary, and in fact, he donates that mm-hmm. to different branches of the government every quarter. He's done that since taking office, too. So, there are all sorts of questions about whether he's properly divested of his company and all the rest. So it's just, somewhat interesting to watch him talk about his golf course and say, you know, it's a great location. Global leaders can fly into Miami. It's just minutes away from their bungalow over at the Trump Golf Club.
Right. Maybe he could turn to travel agency when he's done.
Sure, you never know. You got to love it. Greg, it's a fascinating world. Thanks for opening a window for us every Monday here.
You bet. Have a good week, you guys.
Greg Clarkston, SRN News White House correspondent. Always great to have that insight.
Following is a true story. My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to Word listeners everywhere. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Now you can get deep discounts on my pillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. There's even a great body pillow, perfect if you happen to be a side sleeper. Regularly $89.99, but with the promo code WORD, you can get one today for only $29.99. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and 10-year warranty. It's MyPillow's way of saying thank you for all your support. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the body pillow for only $29.99. Enter promo code WORD or call 800-391-0954 for these great radio specials. That's 800-391-0954 or MyPillow.com, promo code WORD.
Nobody does spicy like Wendy's.
Yep.
So all hail the Queen of Spice. Because this is the day Wendy's Spicy Nuggets are back. And tomorrow is the day Wendy's Spicy Nuggets are back. Wendy's brought them back. So now every day is the day Wendy's Spicy Nuggets are back.
This is the day. Took it the scenic route, but this is the way. That's all news, baby. This is the day. They gon' miss us today. You will miss us today.
Wendy's Spicy Nuggets are back. Get yours this day. We got you.
For a limited time, only at participating Wendy's.
Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
The return on my investment has been beyond my imagination. I always wanted to be a great dentist, but what I wasn't prepared for is the relationships that I'm able to develop with my patients.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Turning out mostly cloudy tonight with a shower too, especially later on tonight, the low 64. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy, more humid with a couple of showers. High 78, we'll have a couple of showers and a thunderstorm around for tomorrow night. Low 65, and for Wednesday, clouds will give way to some sunshine, lowering humidity, highs around 80 degrees. With your Iraqi weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
The number of calls to an FBI tip line designed to head off mass shootings and other attacks has surged by 70%.
I did not know there was even such a thing. Did you?
I did not, but I heard it after the shootings.
In El Paso.
Yeah, and I've kind of been watching these stories come out ever since we found out that there were two that were foiled, two actual shootings that were in the works that were foiled. So I kind of went back and looked. I saw this Reuters news story. It said that the FBI fielded more than 38,000 phone and online tips during just the week after the shootings.
What? How do you wade through that?
I don't know. I do not know. But they said such increases are often observed after major incidents. Mm. The FBI said this in a statement. As always, the FBI encourages the public to remain vigilant and report any and all suspicious activity to law enforcement immediately. The other thing the FBI said is not all the tips they get are actionable, that some tips turn into FBI investigations. Some of them are just seen as they don't have any basis whatsoever. Others are forwarded to local authorities. This number of, what is it, 38,000?
Yeah.
Does not include tips that were turned into state and local law enforcement. So that's just to the FBI.
How do you sift through
that? How many people did they have to hire?
Yeah.
To sift, to go through all of that.
That training just to go, okay, this is legit. Right. This is just some crazy story. And let's track it down.
I mentioned earlier that I've been kind of interested in this and following along when I found out that there were two actionable cases that the FBI actually told the public about after they said, look, these were going to happen and they were foiled. But here are a couple other ones. Several people have been arrested, and this is a Reuters news story. Did I say that? Several people have been arrested and charged across the U.S. in recent weeks as a result of tips. They have included an employee at a Wisconsin distribution center who called police after a coworker threatened to carry out a workplace shooting. An Alabama resident who alerted authorities after his friend, a Florida trucker, sent him messages about his plans for shooting a Memphis church.
Right.
In Michigan, a person told authorities a former classmate threatened to shoot 200 police officers. And a conversation with a woman in Florida, she said she'd talked to her ex-boyfriend who texted her about his plan to kill 100 people in a mass shooting.
Wow. And I saw a thing over the weekend where a 13-year-old boy was removed from his home because online, while he was playing a game, he made a comment about this as well, that he was going to be involved in a mass. So, you know, by and large, of course, most of these just go away. This is someone blowing off steam or whatever. But in the day and age that we live in,
look, we're taking everything seriously.
You have to take everything serious because people are just wild.
Yeah.
So God,
I think
help us.
I think it's good news that people are being more alert and people are willing to say something.
Right,
that's
right.
What we have to do.
I mean, you know, that old adage, if you see something, say something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was for international terrorism. And now here it is.
You know,
it's
what?
Local.
To us, doesn't mean anything.
No,
no difference
it doesn't.
Whatsoever.
No, right. People's lives are being put in jeopardy, so God help us. Okay, we'll take a break, come back.
Did you hear about the two twins that were born 3 months apart?
What? What? No,
I'm
seriously.
I'm not making it up.
It sounds like
not.
Sci-fi.
It's not.
All right. That's next. Stick around. Maternity update.
WORD.
If you know a couple going through marital challenges and you think, I don't know what I can do, Jonathan Holmes says, don't give up.
At least be willing to say, listen, I'm willing to help you, though. Let's go talk to our pastor. Let's track somebody down. And listen, I'll absolutely be committed to coming alongside and walking with you and just to be a friend.
How we can help friends going through rough times in marriage. Next time on Family Life Today.
Tomorrow morning at 9 on 101.5 Word FM WORD.
I'm not an actor. I was not compensated in any way for this.
Byron bought a timeshare. After 12 years of endless fees and broken promises, he wanted out.
I saw an ad by a company that talked about being able to get you out of your contract, and they would sell your timeshare. They ripped me off. I found out later on that the market for timeshares is non-existent.
So he turned to Wesley Financial Group.
They had a very good Better Business Bureau rating, and after reading all the testimonials, I felt like I wanted to give them a chance.
Wesley Financial Group got Byron out of his timeshare contract legally.
If you are like me and you would like to get out of this contract, I strongly urge you to get a hold of Wesley Financial Group. They are honest and good people. And I just want to thank them from the bottom of my heart.
For your free information kit, call 800-349-8877. 800-349-8877. Again, 800-349-8877.
How does Eden Christian Academy prepare students for success? Through education that ignites the mind and inspires the spirit, from pre-K through 12th grade, through 47 state-certified full-time teachers, and opportunities in sports, the arts, and service to the community. With results like SAT scores 200 points over the national average, schedule a tour at any of Eden's three North Hills campuses and see what the area's largest non-denominational Christian school has to offer at EdenChristianAcademy.org.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with Extreme Detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
Providence Presbyterian Church,
Washington Alliance Church,
Bethlehem Lutheran Church,
St. John the Baptist Church,
Impact Christian Church,
The Bible Chapel.
What do all these churches from various denominations have in common?
Nello Construction.
Design and build with one company.
Nello Construction.
Full service construction from the ground up.
Renovation. Expansion.
Nello Construction. The choice for churches.
See the projects.
Begin the journey
at NelloConstruction.com.
There's an ongoing thing we laugh about in our family because my mom, Nancy's a twin.
Yeah.
A fraternal twin. But she and her sister, my aunt, have different birthdays.
They're twins.
They're twins.
Born on different days.
Right, because one was born on one side of midnight, and the other was born on the other side of midnight.
Okay, oh,
so they had different birth dates. So let me tell you how confusing this gets, because my grandmother was very insistent that they be celebrated on the same day, because she went through a lot to have twins. So she was going to get some publicity for it, right? Say, like, we are doing this together.
Well, that's good.
Even though they look nothing alike, act nothing alike, speak nothing alike. I mean, it looks like they don't even know each other, but they are yet still twins.
Really?
So anyway, it wasn't until maybe 4 years ago that, you know, so my mom was the one who was born on May 10th.
Yeah.
My aunt was born on May 9th, but they always celebrated on May 9th. It wasn't until maybe 4 or 5 years ago that my mom was in a local hospital and none of her records could be found.
Oh, what?
None of her records could be found. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. It turned out that they finally adjusted her birth date to reflect her birth certificate.
I see.
After what? She was like 80 years old when they finally did that. So now.
No hurry.
So now she's got a different birth date than she's used her entire life because it's the actual one. Anyway, it's just nutty. Well, this is even nuttier. Okay, listen to this story. This is from Inside Edition.
Okay. Oh, well, that's breaking news.
It's a website I try to go to daily. Okay, a mom in Kazakhstan, John, has given birth to twins 11 weeks apart. Can you believe that? Her name is Lilia Konovalova. She's 29 years old.
Yeah.
She gave birth to her daughter on May 24th, but her son didn't make his grand entrance until August 9th.
Oh, that is fascinating.
Doctors said the odds of this happening are 1 in 50 million.
So she gave birth prematurely.
Right. So her daughter, Lia, was born at only 25 weeks. Mm. She weighed 1 pound, 13 ounces.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder how she is.
2 months, she's doing well. More than 2 months later, baby boy Maxim arrived weighing 6 pounds, 6 ounces.
Wow.
Okay. Now, the mom reportedly has a double uterus, a condition known as uterus didelphys. So the twins developed individually. The mom said, I had no idea I had this condition. I didn't know what was happening. But the births of the twins like this, the first of their kind ever on record in
Kazakhstan. That's incredible. Fabulous.
11 weeks apart.
What a wild
Both
story.
Both babies doing well.
1 pound, how many ounces?
1 pound, 13 ounces.
Oh my gosh. That's a tiny, tiny,
How old was your son when he was born?
He was born
how much did he weigh when he was born?
2 pounds, 9 ounces.
And he was born how many weeks?
10 weeks early.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was, you know, he looked like a little spaceman. He was a wisp of a baby. I can't imagine 1 pound, 13 ounces. That only speaks to medical technology.
Yes, it sure does.
I mean, seriously. I mean, after, you know, when my son was born so early, people would say, oh, yeah, we had a premature baby, you know, back in the day. And, you know, somebody, we used to use a warm brick next to the baby to keep him warm.
That seems like an accident waiting to happen.
That kind of stuff. What? You did what? Everybody had a story for us.
Okay.
I remember somebody, the first person who came to see our baby, he was 2 pounds, 9 ounces. They came in and they're like, he is so beautiful. And I'm like, that's a baby, but you know, he kind of looks like he's from outer space. Right. And that's, I appreciate your kindness, but man, you know, you see like, he wasn't a Gerber baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. I get it.
All is well today though.
Okay. Another story I saw today that has absolutely no bearing on what I just told you about, because this is America centric and is also food centric.
Okay.
There's a coveted list that comes out in August of every year from the dailymeal.com, and it's the 101 best burgers in America.
Who does that?
With the dailymeal.com.
But
from what I can see, this is like the thing that they're kind of famous for, is they do this type of list.
They sort of massive lists.
Right. So I looked through there because I've mentioned this before. My husband doesn't eat meat because of a medical condition he has. And so I don't eat meat at home.
Yeah.
Just because I feel badly doing it in front of him. Well, it's been a while since I've had meat. And now I'm starting to think about it a lot.
Of course
when
you
I
are.
When I go like longer than 6 weeks or something, I start to get a little funny.
Heck yeah.
I looked at this article and I started to get real funny.
Give me a burger. Mm-hmm. Now, when you say that, it's been a while since I've had a burger. And like when I say a while,
yeah,
like maybe 2 weeks. Something like that.
Yeah.
But when I hear that, I go, yeah, give me a burger.
Doesn't that sound good?
I need a burger.
Okay. Now, the bad news is that out of 101 burgers that they've rated in America, not a single one is from Pittsburgh.
Oh, come on.
Not even one. And there are...
Well, then that's skewered.
Wait, what's worse is there are two from Philadelphia.
Oh, please.
I mean, it's like...
Then they didn't come to Pittsburgh for some crazy reason.
What in the world?
Listen, one word, and you know it.
Tesoros.
Exactly. Tesoros in Bloomfield.
Come on.
That's where you want
to
go to have a burger.
That you need to find.
Without a doubt.
That's the burger 100%. You need to find. It really is. You want to hear the top 10? Does that mean anything to you?
Well, now that we're like totals.
One, the
Are
office.
In Portland and
the
Seattle?
The office burgers in L.A. The Cadillac at P.J. Clark's is in New York.
P.J. Clark's. Which, I've been to P.J. Clark's many a time.
Okay. So there are 5 locations.
Yeah.
There's one in D.C., Philadelphia. But apparently this one on 3rd Avenue in Manhattan, is that the
well.
One you've been
I
to?
I know well, yeah.
Okay. They said it's a feisty little brick building, mm-hmm, and that's
it
where they...
It's all by itself. It's just like this standalone building surrounded by this concrete canyon.
Well, the reason that it's called the Cadillac is that that's what Nat King Cole called it.
Oh, really?
Nat, that's a by. Nice recommendation.
Yeah, that very is.
All right, so number 8, Sliders in Hackensack, New Jersey.
Sliders. You like a slider? You know what a slider is?
I like a slider.
It's a little mini burger. It's like a white tower.
I'd rather have a big burger because I don't really need 2 buns.
No, not 2. You get like a bag of those. You get like 12 in a bag.
There's no way.
I'm going to go pop, pop, pop,
I don't
pop,
think
pop,
I want to do that.
That's good.
The Americana Burger at Coswell's in San Francisco.
I'd be happy to have that.
Sure would I. So would I. The Loyalist Cheeseburger at the Loyalist in Chicago, which looks very nice. It's on a sesame bun.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, sure. A little sesame.
I like a softer bun.
Yeah, especially if it's a big burger, because you got to smush that little sucker down.
I don't think I want a hard. I don't want a hard bun. The Black Label Burger at the Minetta Tavern in New York. Does that mean anything to you?
No, nothing.
Okay,
Minetta Lane. It's probably down in the Village.
You know what? It doesn't say where it is. I'm sorry to tell you, but it says it's one of the Big Apple's best restaurants for carnivores. Number 4 is the Cheeseburger at Al Cheval in Chicago, which is served with dill pickles on it. And a red onion, like mayonnaise-ish type of creamy thing.
I do that.
Would you support that?
100%.
I don't know if I'd do that.
Why? You don't like the onion thing.
Just because it's the raw onions are hard for me.
Yeah.
You know?
To digest or just to
I taste them for days. Do I really want to do that? Okay. Number 3, cheeseburger at Husk in Charleston, South Carolina.
Charleston, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Number 2 is the double cheeseburger at Holman and Finch Public House in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And the number 1 burger is at Peter Luger.
Oh.
New York. Which also, I believe, is this. Yes, it's the same. It's the best burger in America can be found at the same restaurant as the best steak in America in 2019.
Really, really? Okay.
Peter Luger. Have you been to Peter Luger?
I have not, no, but I'd like to go. I know it's a wonderful reputation.
They've been handling meat since 1887.
Have they, though? It's kind of stinky. That's a long time.
But if we were going to be doing burgers here in Pittsburgh, we'd go
I'm
to
going
the
there.
Same place.
Yeah. When you get a burger, you order it how?
Very good question. Mm-hmm. It has to be medium rare.
Bingo. Thank you very much. Now, if you're going to go, now, if I'm going to Tesoro's, if I know the guys, I'll do medium rare. However,
yeah,
if it's a, like, you know, if I'm going to, you don't want to go to like Applebee's and order a medium.
No.
A medium, because you never know what you're going to get.
Right, exactly.
Right? You got to be careful about that.
You have to, and it's good to know the place you're going.
Yeah, bingo.
Because if you say medium rare at Tesoro's, they mean it.
Yeah.
You're going to get a pink center, and it could be a little tiny red in there.
No, little tiny. It should be it should be more than it, little tiny.
I mean, it's...
Give me some of that carnivore juice.
I took my nephew there, and he ordered a rare burger.
What?
And he said after he ate it, he wanted to order a cup of hot coffee so it would cook in his stomach.
Did you ever have steak tartare? Speaking of rare?
No, never.
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What is steak tartare?
Oh, gosh, it's ground meat.
No, it's not ground meat. It's sirloin.
Oh, is it sirloin?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was ground meat.
No, no. It's high end. Yeah. Clint and Martin.
But isn't it ground?
It is ground.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I met
but
these
guys.
But
it's still ground meat. I'm not saying it's like chuck.
But it's not burger.
No, but
it's a big difference.
But it's ground.
A higher grade. Yeah. But you, so you go to a butcher and you
still
choose your meat.
It's not Taco Bell.
And then you have
Bell
it ground
meat.
Up. No, it's not. Anyway, it's raw meat with an onion and an egg.
A raw egg on top.
And they stir it up, and you sit there, and they put some breadcrumbs in there. I had these two friends of mine, Clint and Martin, come in from Switzerland.
Actually sounds good.
No, it's not. It really, it's an acquired taste.
I love you, Mike.
And they were like, oh, hello, John. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Let's go, and we'll have something very special. Like, okay, great. How about steak tartare? Well, he said steak. I'm like, great. We went to the local butcher. They chose a piece of steak. He ground it for them. They went back and made it for me. Then we had bought these big crackers. And they sat there and they were like chowing on that thing. I was like, guys, I can't do it. I just can't. So I had a couple of them. But that's raw meat.
Was it good?
No, it wasn't good. Not for me. I'm sure it's an acquired taste. And I was not acquiring it at that moment with Clinton Martin.
Mike, if you were going to get a burger, where would you go?
Fat Burgers.
Fat burger.
Or I'm sorry, Fatheads.
Oh, Fatheads in the South Side.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine.
There was last time I had a burger there. Oh my gosh, that was like it's been too long.
Yeah. See, the more we're talking about this, the worse it's getting.
Yeah,
right?
You need that. You really
but I had a peanut butter cheeseburger.
Oh, I don't like that.
No, wait, that's an Elvis thing.
Really?
Peanut butter.
Isn't he the one that did peanut butter on burgers?
No, no, he just did peanut butter and banana sandwich, and
with
it was
bacon.
Fried
with bacon.
I don't know if he did bacon.
Yeah, he
did
bacon.
Really?
Yeah. All right.
So, okay. Yeah, I thought it was going to be like too
peanut
like
butter cheeseburger.
Too much of a mouthful of peanut butter. It's going to be too chewy, you know. Like, but it was good. It was
really.
Yeah, I loved it.
Oh,
it
I
was really
that.
Really good.
Wait, so if it's peanut butter, then you're not doing like lettuce, tomato, pickles, ketchup.
I had all that.
You had all that with peanut butter.
Yeah.
Wasn't the overriding like? Wasn't the peanut butter just sort of like overwhelming?
No, not really.
To stick to the roof of your mouth.
A hint to it. I had a hint to it.
A hint. That a sounds hint. Very culinary.
All right, so we recommend Fatheads and Tesoro's.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're going to do a fast food burger, fast food, Five Guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely, hands down.
Five Guys.
Crushes
do that.
Burger King and McDonald's.
Okay. For sure.
What about, you're driving interstate, you know, it's like 2 a.m., you're really starving, and up ahead you see the exit, you get two choices, Mickey D or Burger King. Where are you going?
I got to tell you, there is no way I'm getting a burger.
At either?
Neither.
What?
Not because I don't want a burger at either one, but at 2 in the morning, the thought of eating a burger is sick.
No.
We are
it
not,
sounds delicious
we are
to me.
We sound delicious.
That sounds,
yeah.
That's when you want a burger
yeah,
at 2 a.m. Sounds sick. What are you having at 2 a.m.? I'm saying you're like, you know, you're driving. You've been driving for hour after hour after hour.
Get some trail
hour.
Mix. Have some self-respect.
No, man. I want a burger.
Self-respect. What are you doing, Mike? Mickey D or Burger
King? Burger King.
Me too.
Burger
Thank
King.
You. Give me a
for sure.
Give me a
give
whooper.
Me Whopper.
Give me the whooper, please.
We can hardly believe it. But it's time for the last barbecue of the summer at the Springhouse in 84. Don't miss out on this great summer taste treat. And come to the Springhouse this Labor Day for fantastic chicken cooked over the pit with lots of country vegetable casseroles, homemade rolls, homemade desserts, and of course our own Springhouse chocolate milk. eat in our picnic patch or sun porch, or take it home to your own picnic. And although this last chicken barbecue marks the end of the summer at the Springhouse, it also signals the beginning of lots of fun fall events. We'll soon be having hog roasts and pumpkin patch hay rides, plus lots of other special events to celebrate this beautiful autumn time of the year. So be sure to come this Labor Day to the Springhouse and help us celebrate.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives and restore sight and health for many more. Sign up right now online as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Once upon a time, customers would find your business with this big, thick book full of phone numbers and competitors' phone numbers. It was a heavy, cumbersome, yellowish-looking thing. You'd place your ad in the book and hope customers would call.
Hello?
Now, there's Salem Surround, delivering customers with targeted digital marketing. Get started with a free evaluation of your digital presence and great ideas to increase your online visibility and revenue. Learn more at SurroundPittsburgh.com. SurroundPittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Bart, it's an amazing song.
Maybe you've seen the movie.
It's kind of happening.
Now see them live in concert. The Imagination Tour, featuring Mercy Me.
I can only imagine.
With special guest Crowder.
Thank you, God.
Word FM welcomes Mercy Me. Coming to PPG Paints Arena, October 4th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Hi, this is Brad Marshall, General Manager here at Salem-Pittsburgh. If you're listening to my voice right now, you're a listener to our station. If you love this station and you have experience in sales, we'd love to talk to you. You already understand our mission and what we do, so now maybe you'd like to join this team. If you have sales experience and understand digital marketing, we might have a job for you. Call me and we'll discuss the next steps. Call Brad, 412-503-4770. If you love us, come join us. It could be a life-changing opportunity for you. You'll never know unless you call.
Hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind.
It's Be Kind to Humans Week.
Oh, is it?
I don't believe we've ever celebrated this before.
Be Kind to Humans Week.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include being kind to yourself? Because
yes.
A lot of people are unkind to themselves.
It's a good point.
Right?
It's a good point.
People are harsh on themselves.
I think it must start there.
Let's hope it does. Well, no, it's not. Let's hope it doesn't too much.
It's hard. You get that out of whack and you turn into a narcissist pretty fast.
That's exactly it. I mean, you know people, but don't you know people kind of go, people, have you heard this? Oh, I hate myself so much.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oof.
Right.
Oh, you
it's
poor
a horrible
baby.
Place
just
to be.
Be kind to yourself and then be kind to the world.
Yeah. Okay. Each day this week, we're going to focus on a good story about people being kind to other people.
Okay, nice.
And I saw this story on Facebook. This is so sweet. And I'm going to repost it on our page, too. And because of the photos that accompany it, it makes it even better.
Oh.
This is written by a young woman whose name is Tara. I've never met her. I know nothing about her. But she put this story about her Nana up on her Facebook page. Mm. And I saw it yesterday. This is what she said. She said, when my Nana was put in hospice, the nurse asked her what her goals were. She replied that she wanted to be at my wedding. They reluctantly told her they didn't want her flying anymore. She was nearly 103. I knew in my heart she was trying to hang on to get there somehow, so I decided to fly to her with my wedding dress.
Hmm.
It was unaltered, it didn't fit yet, but none of that mattered. And I may have lied to my entire family about where I was that weekend, and I didn't tell my friends so I could surprise everyone with these photos. Words cannot express how much these moments mean to me. I'll cherish these photos and the experience the rest of my life.
Wow.
When I said goodbye to her that night, I think we both knew it would be the last time we would see each other. And she passed away 27 days later. So these photos of this woman in her wedding dress with her Nana, it's going to make you cry.
No
it's
kidding.
It's so lovely. And the photographer captured the most beautiful parts of this. It is So gorgeous.
Was Nana in bed or was
nope.
she in
Nana
a chair?
Nana was sitting up in a chair in a great outfit.
Oh, nice.
Looking awesome at 103.
Excellent.
Yep.
Wow. Where did she go? I wonder where she traveled from, like, you know, destination to destination.
She does not
state
say, it does not say where she went or how far it was, but it does give credit to Red Door Photography, who did just a fabulous, fabulous job wow. on at this. So I'm going to put this on our Facebook page. Check it out. The story of Tara Foley and her Nana. She decided that she would make that happen for her Nana.
Mm. That's a great act of kindness.
You got
it. Very nice. 103 years old. Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. I mean, can you imagine living to 103 with that?
I know. Look, I'm just showing.
Oh, look how beautiful she is, Nana. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's well worth a look.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so be kind to humans week. Do your
okay.
part.
I guess, what, we'll have a story tomorrow?
We'll
around
have a story
this time?
Every day.
Okay. It should be like a daily feature. Like, Mike wants us to say nice things about each other.
Forget it.
I mean.
Oh, come on.
Mikey, okay. You have nice hair.
Thanks.
I like those glasses you wore until you took them back.
What happened to those glasses?
I took them back. I didn't like them.
I thought you were doing a construction project. I'm glad you got rid of those.
I told him I liked them like 30 times. And he was
too,
like, no. I don't really care
See,
anything.
I knew you didn't like them.
They were
too
big.
I liked them.
They were too
Kathy
big.
Oh,
them.
What? So you listened to him and not me. That was a bad idea, Mike.
I thought he got them like at Home Depot.
I'm glad that you gave me an answer, Kathy, because John didn't give me an answer at all.
You didn't ask for anything from me. What did you ask from me?
I got silence from you. Yeah. That was the answer.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not your fashion consultant. It's your wife's job.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The U.S. will host the next G7 summit, and President Trump says he may invite Vladimir Putin.
Putin was kicked out of the then G8 after Russia annexed Crimea. The president wants him back.
I think it would be better to have Russia inside the tent than outside the tent.
And says he'd certainly invite Putin to next year's summit, though he doesn't know if the Russian leader would show up.
That's a pretty tough thing for him. You know, he's a proud person.
The president says several leaders agree Putin should be back among those representing the world's industrial powers. But French President Emmanuel Macron says they did not agree on whether to bring back Putin. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
An Oklahoma judge has found Johnson & Johnson and its subsidiaries helped fuel the state's opioid drug crisis and ordered the consumer products giant to pay $572 million to help address the problem. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-494-2323. That's 800-494-2323. 800-494-2323. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
This is the entertainment answer. Looking for a romantic date night in option? How about Netflix's Falling in Love? When city girl Gabriella spontaneously wins a rustic New Zealand inn, she teams up with a big-hearted contractor to fix and flip. Once the final fixtures are hung, she's hesitant to leave the inn and the inviting community that nurtured her creative side. Again, it's called Falling in Love. Rated PG, premiering only on Netflix August 29th. For this entertainment answer, I'm Matt Mungle.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
So how was your breakfast this morning? Was it magnificent or just meh?
You could have enjoyed a little morning comfort at the Bistro To Go Cafe, like their simply delicious signature sugar pecan French toast, a savory Tuscan or farmer-style breakfast bowl, or a daily chef-crafted special. Bistro To Go Cafe will always get your morning off to a delicious and healthy start. Have a great day with Bistro To Go on the North Side. See what's cooking at bistro-togo.com.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Turning out mostly cloudy tonight with a shower too, especially later on tonight, the low 64. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy, more humid with a couple of showers. High 78, we'll have a couple of showers and a thunderstorm around for tomorrow night. Low 65, and for Wednesday, clouds will give way to some sunshine, lowering humidity, highs around 80 degrees. With your AccuWeather weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Greetings. Thanks for coming along for the Monday edition. Kathy, we didn't talk about this during the 4 o'clock hour, but I think this was for a lot of school districts' first day back to school.
Yeah, my daughter started back last week.
Did she?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my college students started back today.
Oh, that's right. Pitt starts today,
Pitt
right?
Pitt starts today.
Carnegie Mellon as well.
Chatham starts today.
Okay, everyone's back in.
Mm-hmm. I hate it.
Me too.
I do.
I do. It changes everything.
I just like summer.
Yeah, me too. Please.
I actually went to bed last night, and I know I'm going to be in the vast minority. This tells you how sick I am. It was a little too cool for me.
No, without a doubt. 100%.
I loved it.
No, I hate it.
I absolutely love it.
I had to put an extra blanket on my bed.
It's the worst.
It's yeah.
Also, here's the deal. When you wake up in the morning, like, you know, like you and I, because we're the same, we have no AC.
Right.
So we are used to the outside air, dealing with it, good, bad, or otherwise. In the summertime, I wake up, I put on a pair of shorts and a T-shirt,
right,
and I'm hanging out in the morning. Right. That's my dress.
Right.
Now, in the wintertime comes,
dang it,
you're putting on socks and pants and long sleeves, a hoodie, a hat.
It takes so much time, doesn't it?
A jacket. Oh, you're
who
walking around. It's the worst.
It's the best.
The worst.
Oh, Mike, you and your Christmas.
Oh, man. We're going to go into this. Okay, look.
Oh,
never
right.
mind. Forget it. No.
Okay, okay, listen.
Existential
okay, listen.
Despair.
As the school year begins today, or if your student started last
yeah.
week, Town Hall Magazine tells us that millions of high schoolers and college students are heading into an academic environment mm-hmm. rife with politicization and heated classroom discussions.
Yeah.
Politicization. I said that wrong.
Thanks in some ways to the New York Times and others like their ilk.
It's so true. But this article jumped out at me because it was asking students what they actually thought about issues like socialism, free speech, health care, and illegal immigration.
Okay, that's good.
These are kids ages 13 to 22. Most people would label that Generation Z, okay?
Gen Z.
The Young Americas Foundation, which is a conservative group, so you have to know who's asking the questions. But they were not answering the questions. They were just asking the questions. They wanted to get a better understanding of America's youth.
Asking how?
So
online or face-to-face? Difference.
They were doing both things, actually. I'm
really?
Glad you asked.
So they would go on campus
yes.
and approach people.
Yes.
They would hire people to do this.
Right. Well, or maybe they're volunteers from the Young right, Americas okay. Foundation. Anyway, 40% of college-age students had a positive view of socialism. Okay.
Yes. It's because they don't live in a socialist country.
35% of all respondents said they viewed the economic system of socialism positively. Now, wait, are you ready?
That's so sad.
But when asked to define it?
They had no idea.
10% of the students said it means, quote, free stuff.
Well, then there you go.
Wait.
And, that's all.
And 27% said, quote, I don't know, I'm unsure. Okay,
how many? 21?
27%.
27% said they don't know. 10% said free stuff.
That's what socialism
37%.
Is.
37%. So on campus, we're talking to a bunch of goofballs.
Right, who don't know. First of all, how do you get through high school social studies without knowing what socialism is?
Who knows?
I love the fact that they still think it's awesome.
Free stuff.
They don't know what it is, but they think it's awesome.
Right, because someone said something sometime about something, they go, I'm nodding my head. Oh, that's free. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's equality for everybody. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We're in trouble.
Okay, here's the other thing that's going to make you want to, like, put your head down in despair, okay? They asked how they discuss issues like this about economics. Like, so how do they find out about socialism, or who do they talk about these issues with? Like, how do they decide what economic system they think is most beneficial?
What's your source material?
What's your source material? Or not even like a professional piece or a magazine or a website, but who are you talking to about
in
it?
Your
do
circles?
You talk to your parents? Do you talk to your professors or whatever? 60% of the respondents. Social media.
Mm-hmm. No surprise. I'm surprised it's 60%.
And not 80%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number one is Twitter.
Really?
No. Number one is Twitter.
With Gen Z.
Yeah.
Wow.
Twitter,
Gen Z's on Twitter.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
Hmm.
Now, here's the thing. It wasn't that 60% of them were on Twitter. It was just when they were talking about finding information about economic issues,
okay.
They were on Twitter.
I see, okay.
Which
see.
Makes sense, because you're not going to go on Instagram to talk about economic right. issues for the most part, right? That's just right.
No.
Not
okay.
where that's going.
So the
happen.
Next debate, the Democrat debate, is September 3rd, I believe, right? So they're narrowing this down. There's been a reshuffling of the deck, so to speak, right? Who can be part of the debate based upon signatures gained and money contributed to each individual candidate. There's been a shakedown here. I wonder, as we go deeper into this year and as candidates are sort of, you know, saying I'm not going to run anymore, I've lacked support, this conversation about socialism, will it take center stage on the debate stage?
Well, it should take center stage.
I hope so.
If every single person who's running for president on the Democratic side is
espousing this.
It. Like, what are we talking about?
My campaign slogan, free stuff.
Seriously? I cannot believe that we're not that far removed from the Iron Curtain. Are we? Do we not teach that? Do
People
we not
don't
know what Stalinist Russia looked like?
Oh, my gosh.
Do we not know what that was? Do we not know who Mao was? Do we not understand that?
What's being taught? What are people studying? What are they thinking about?
It puts me into. I truly can't believe that our education system has tanked that badly.
Well, because there's
all people think that socialism equals free stuff.
People think that there's no bad guy in socialism. You know, the bad guy is corporate America.
Oh my
because
God.
Corporate America is making me pay for something of worth and value or not. It's your choice. But socialism. We'll take care of everybody, and that's good. That's ridiculous. That's really dangerous.
You know what else I think, though, has contributed to that? Hmm. I really think one of the main drivers right now with that age group is how expensive college is.
Yes.
I'm sure.
I was just going to say that.
I have no doubt about that.
Yeah. I mean, so what we're doing is we're telling kids to get an education, they need to be so deeply in debt that they have no possibility for success.
Oh, that's
it's a horrible system. So
yeah,
if anyone's
right.
coming up to you saying, hey, I want to help you out with that, you want to say,
get me out of this debt. Right.
Yeah, so
I get that.
I'm not saying there's an excuse for being uneducated, but we're putting people in a bad, bad place.
Take a break, come back. We're going to talk about mass shootings, spiritual warfare, the devil next. Stick around.
Employers, are you tired of paying outrageous premiums for health insurance? How about a plan that allows you to go to any hospital in the country, a plan that pays you back every year? Now, whether you want a top-of-the-line plan or just enough to keep you legal, Marley Financial, they have a custom-made plan perfect for you. As a business owner, you owe it to yourself to stay ahead of the ever-changing marketplace, and Marley's been on the cutting edge of new and improved health plans for both individuals and businesses for years. And only Marley Financial offers health plans that actually actually pay you back. So go to MarleyFG.com for unbiased, top-notch plans from any carrier in Pennsylvania. Plans that'll save you money and give you an edge over the competition. They even offer custom business solutions to reduce your liability and overhead as you grow. They're truly one of the most innovative agencies in the nation. So give Marley a call now, 724-884-1496, or find him online at MarleyFG.com.
101.5 WORD. You could win an amazing cruise, an adventure to re-spark your marital relationship on Family Life's Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise.
Just log on to our station website and use the keyword STRONGER.
And when you enter, you'll also receive a free copy of Family Life's ebook, Stronger Forever, a personalized 6-week plan to grow your marriage.
Make your marriage stronger. Register now to win at wordfm.com/stronger.
At the Original Mattress Factory, we don't chase trends. We focus on one thing, quality. We only use the highest quality materials to build our mattresses and box springs, and we put all of our products through the wringer, testing new designs and materials at our test center in Cleveland, Ohio. If a new feature or technology doesn't offer a true benefit, we don't put it in our products. At the Original Mattress Factory, our focus is on what makes a great mattress, not a great markup. Visit originalmattress.com to learn more.
Sleep impacts your ability to focus, learn, and solve problems. But according to Harvard Medical School, only 11% of American college students are sleeping well. At the Original Mattress Factory, we can't guarantee that your college student won't stay up until 3 a.m. cramming before a big exam. But we can provide a hand-built, high-quality mattress at a factory-direct price when they are finally ready to get some rest. Visit an Original Mattress Factory store near you or go to originalmattress.com to learn more.
They didn't teach us this in Bible college. A family in my church has asked me to help with their son who's addicted to heroin. They're in a serious crisis, and I'm so busy with everything else at the church. How do I help them?
For over 50 years, Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge has come alongside local pastors to help them in the fight against addiction in their congregations. Call 724-265-4100 now. Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge, bringing wholeness to the hopeless.
From Biola University, Dr. Tim Uhlhoff joins us. Tim is the professor of communications at Biola. He is also the author of Winsome Persuasion, Christian Influence in a Post-Christian World. Tim, welcome back to the show. It's good to hear you.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
We've been talking a lot, sadly, over the last year about mass shootings. We were afflicted with one here in Pittsburgh.
In October.
It'll be a year for us in October. And you also, Tim, in California, a couple. And so I know this is something as a communication professor that you're thinking of. Like, what are the issues that are contributing to mass shootings? And how is it that we're talking about it now that it's happening?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're so all trying to collectively wrap our heads around what's happening. And I think I want to try to offer a spiritual perspective and then offer a perspective that can come to us through communication theory. I think first, I remember listening to a psychologist make an interesting comment. He said, life wouldn't be so difficult if we didn't expect it to be so easy. So I wonder if we're shocked by these mass shootings because we're expecting that we live in a world that's not out of sync with God, that literally we're in a world that has rebelled against God and that we're embroiled in spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. I think what John says in the New Testament, that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, and that in Acts chapter 10, the writer says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And so imagine this. Imagine we all lived in Britain, in London, during the Battle of Britain. In 8 months, they were bombed every single night. Cities across the UK, over 43,000 people died during that horrible battle for Britain during World War II. Imagine if you turned on the news what you would expect to hear, right? It'd be another night of German bombings, of buildings being blown up, of people dying, of Britain literally fighting for its life. They wouldn't be surprised at what they were hearing, yet I think we're surprised because in some ways we think that this world is as it should be, but we know spiritually that we're actually at war. with an entity that the Bible calls Satan, and Jesus, 20% of everything he talked about had to do with this demonic adversary. I think we need to be biblical and realize we're seeing the effect of a world that is a battleground between God and the evil one.
Yes. Okay, so Tim, then explain where you are, because as Kath said, October of last year here in the city of Pittsburgh, a crazed man went into a synagogue and murdered 11 people. Now, there's something that happens when a mass shooting happens right where you live, where you go through periods of grief and denial, anger, shock, mourning. You cry out, you stamp your feet. It has changed Pittsburgh, the community. I have no doubt about that. And so where you are in California, something very similar happened. And so over this last month, because you're a regular guest on our show, you yourself and your community, your family, have gone through similar emotions, no doubt.
Yeah, John, and I think it's time for us to come together as a believing community. So I would pick the religious institutions that surround Brea, La Habra, the places where I live, and faith traditions that believe in spiritual battle. And I think it would be time to come together as a community to say, listen, let's look at this through a spiritual lens, and let's pray for protection. Let's pray for protection for our schools on the front end. Let's pray for, you know, awareness of security guards. Let's pray that people thinking about doing this great evil, mm-hmm. that is being influenced by demonic forces, let's pray against those forces. In the name of Jesus, let's claim that authority that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 6 with the armor of God. So on the front end, let's realize we're in a battle. And people have free will, right? We can enact every gun law possible. And if a person really wants to hurt another person, I think they're going to be able to pull that off. So let's pray against spiritual forces, but then let's not leave it there, right? I think non-believing communities would say, that's all you're going to do is pray. That's it. That's all you got in your whole arsenal is prayer. Let's start to address things on a human level. And so I came across some research about shooters, and it's absolutely shocking. Consider these two facts. Among the 25 most cited school shooters since Columbine, 75% were reared in broken homes. Psychologist Dr. Peter Langman, a preeminent expert on school shooters, found that most came from incredibly broken homes of not just divorce and separation, but also of infidelity, substance abuse, criminal behavior, domestic violence, and child abuse, which led two criminologists to say the number one predictor of a mass shooter is a severed relationship between that person and their father.
Wow.
Wow.
So we need to take that to heart, and yes, we need to ask a really big question. What's happening to our families today? What's happening to the institutions that used to hold us together? And again, this is where we get known as, you know, religious moralists, because I think we need to stop and say, listen, we can't have the divorce rate that we have today. We can't have couples that are living just living together and not getting married. We can't tolerate abuse. We have to step in and say we're allowing the family structure in America to break down, and we're starting to reap because we are not stepping up and saying we need to support family institutions. We need to help struggling marriages and families and single parents. We need to start to be a resource to our communities.
Wow. So if we're talking practical terms, you know, we see the stats, we hear that this is a societal trend. What do you think about, like, concrete day-to-day choices? I mean, prayer being at the top of the list. I got to be honest with you, I have never thought to pray in the way that you brought up, Tim. So I would love to start doing that, really thinking about it from the perspective of asking God to intervene specifically in the lives of kids before they even get to the place where they're thinking about a mass shooting, right? So, but that's the problem, is when we're talking about concrete things, Tim, these things take years to form.
Kathy, I agree, and that can be really discouraging. So here's what at least we're trying to do at Biola University. I'm part of the Center for Marriage and Relationships, so we're all about strengthening marriages. We put on conferences. But the director, Dr. Chris Grace, and I just sat and said, listen, where can we go where people can't come to a marriage conference? So we started something called the Neighbor Love Initiative, where we went to Detroit, Michigan, in one of the impoverished sections of Detroit, and gave away an entire conference for free. Mm. Couples, families, single parents came for free. We had childcare. We got local vendors to donate money, food. And this year, we did Love LA, where we went to the Hispanic community. Because listen to these quotes. Today, 24% of non-white white non-Hispanic families are headed by a single parent, and 66% among African Americans. So we need to say, okay, what can we do right now, right? Governmentally, it's going to take a long time to enact laws, but let's get our churches together and say this, okay, we're going to put on a marriage conference. We're going to do parenting skills. We're going to reach out to parts of our community that simply cannot afford to go to a Family Life Marriage Conference or a conference at Biola University. I just listened to an ad as I was waiting for you guys to have me on, which is the Love Like You Mean It cruise that Family Life puts on. Noreen and I have spoken for Family Life for 25 years. Well, there's families that could never go to something like that.
Right.
So let's go and let's do it now. Let's do it in the fall. Let's do it in the spring. And to say, listen, we'll partner with Hispanic churches. We'll partner with African American churches. And we'll bring our money, manpower, whatever you guys need, we'll bring. And again, we won't be the white saviors in the fact that when we do the Neighbor Love Initiative, we ask them to nominate Hispanic pastors to speak, African American pastors to speak. And so we're now in our third year of the Neighbor Love Initiative, and now donors are surfacing because they hear this and they say, that is phenomenal what you're doing. What can we do to help? And it's like, well, here's what it costs to put on a conference. We need money.
Right.
And so we're in our third year of doing this, and this is also a long answer to shoring up the family system so that these kids who are coming from horrible situations and doing mass shootings, let's try to stabilize what Peter Berger called the mitigating institutions of society that help provide stability as the church. Let's do it.
Yes. And I'm all for it. It's an excellent sort of first tiny step. I wonder, Tim, you know, look, when we talk about social ills, whether it, you know, was back in the early days of the 60s and the 70s where people were like, you know, smoking is bad for you. And it took a long time for that boat to kind of turn around and people go, yeah, I get this now. But that took decades. So for this sort of initiative, the people talk about the family in a positive way, and then for there to be something done about that, whether it is, you know, first step, a family marriage conference, that kind of thing, or it, in the mass media where it saturates, it permeates the nature of mass media, and people hear this 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 times until that message starts to finally start to take hold. I think that's kind of where you have to be headed.
Yeah, and a comprehensive approach is great, John. I totally support that. And I think our churches need to get together and say, okay, what would this look like to have a comprehensive approach? I'm all for that. I think a place like Biola University can do the hard lifting academically and think about what that would look like. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying, in the light of what we've just seen in El Paso,
yes,
Pittsburgh, and Dayton, we need help right now.
Yeah,
we need a marriage conference that's going to happen in November. And so I just compel churches to pull together resources and just say, hey, let's do it. Or go to African-American churches, Hispanic churches, impoverished white communities and say, listen, let us help you. Let us come in and give you a conference for free. We're not looking to make any money whatsoever. And so I like the short term and the long term, but let's frame that in the light of the fact that this is a spiritual battle.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Tim Uhlhoff joins us from Biola University. Sorry, Tim.
Oh, you bet.
Okay, so Tim, when you talk about spiritual battle, now, you know, you, Kath, Mike, and I, we're used to this sort of verbiage, right? This is church talk. But, you know, in lieu of what happened in El Paso, I'm sure there has been talk about demonic forces and spiritual darkness. What's that like? How, you know, I would imagine in the Hispanic community, people nod their head because they've got familiarity with that in some ways, with that same sort of verbiage. But for the general public to hear that, I mean, people, you know, want to lift up the devil as some sort of, you know, anti-hero or something like that. But I think people don't understand the true power of what spiritual darkness is all about.
Yeah, and so let's start to educate people, and let's use Hollywood to do the educating. So students at Biola University, I tell them, hey, I'm kind of leery of you watching occult movies. I think that can be dangerous even in some ways. But listen, not all occult movies are bad. Like, let me suggest a movie called The Conjuring, which is the first Protestant couple, totally true story, first Protestant couple ever sanctioned by the Vatican to do exorcisms. So the movie The Conjuring is an actual story of one of the really difficult cases of a family that was being demonically tempted, and they went in and did an exorcism on the mom.
Really?
And the quote at the end of the movie is worth the price of admission when they say the greatest thing Satan hides behind are a cartoon figure of him.
Yeah.
So I would say, listen, and age appropriate, of course, with The Conjuring, right? Let's not make it movie night with popcorn and 5-year-olds.
Right,
They're going to be not sleeping for the next year. But I say to my students, high school and above, I say, you want to see what spiritual battle can look like? Watch The Conjuring, where it takes it very seriously. And I think we can start to educate that way. There's some great books that are written by academics. I have a book called Defending Your Marriage, The Reality of Spiritual Battle. So, yeah, we're going to take – people are going to roll their eyes when the church says, hey, I think this is demonic battle, but let's not keep that from us speaking the truth and educating people on what evil looks like, and that it's not a get-out-of-jail card. We're not going to say, well, the devil's doing it, it wasn't us. No, we've allowed culture to slip into decay, particularly the family structure, and now let's support the family structure, especially when you have experts saying it is the number one precursor to a mass shooting is a shooter that has been disenfranchised from his family or her family.
That's excellent. Tim, thanks an awful lot, friend. Always appreciate your time here, your wisdom, and your passion. Thanks again.
Great. Thanks, John.
Tim Uhlhoff, Defending Your Marriage, The Reality of Spiritual Battle.
We can hardly believe it, but it's time for the last barbecue of the summer at the Springhouse in 84. Don't miss out on this great summer taste treat and come to the Springhouse this Labor Day for fantastic chicken cooked over the pit with lots of country vegetable casseroles, homemade rolls, homemade desserts, and of course our own Springhouse chocolate milk. Eat in our picnic patch or sun porch or take it home to your own picnic. And although this last chicken barbecue marks the end of the summer at the Springhouse, it also signals the beginning of lots of fun fall events. We'll soon be having hog roasts and pumpkin patch hay rides, plus lots of other special events to celebrate this beautiful autumn time of the year. So be sure to come this Labor Day to the Springhouse and help us celebrate.
This is the time of year where you're seeing all these images on social media of kids standing and posing in their best first day of school. And those kids all have this mix of dread and excitement across their faces. And of course, you know, everybody remembers that, right? We were there as well, first day of school.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know what to expect. And it's even more so when you're going from high school to college. I had a whole group of kids on my porch a couple nights ago who are all going to different colleges, and they were uniformly excited and terrified. Because that's what it is to start college.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right? Without a doubt.
I remember when my daughter started at Grove City College, and I was an emotional wreck. She was terrified, but there was some sort of calm and confidence in taking her to Grove City and in moving her in.
Right. Not to say that you're moving your child into a monastery, but there's something about knowing Grove City is Christ-centered.
Right.
How that works in your child's life, in your life, that you have confidence your child's going to go there and not only grow academically, but spiritually. And there's a great power in that.
Right. So it's spiritual formation without the school hitting you over the head with it. You know,
right.
Without being a legalistic environment, it's a way to encourage people in their relationship with Christ and whatever it is they're pursuing academically.
Right. So school's underway, and kids are going to have a great year. Lots of fun, lots of excitement. You want to send your kid to a great school? Look online, gcc.edu. That's Grove City College.
Hi, I'm John Henney from Henney Jewelers. Since 1887, my family has helped people celebrate the most memorable moments in their lives. We are rooted in faith and commit to doing the right thing again and again. We believe in the covenant of marriage and use our To Have and To Hold program to encourage couples as they prepare to spend the rest of their lives together. please stop into our Shadyside store to learn more or visit hennyjewelers.com. Henny Jewelers, your jewelers for life.
Turning out mostly cloudy tonight with a shower too, especially later on tonight, the low 64. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy, more humid with a couple of showers. High 78. We'll have a couple of showers and a thunderstorm around for tomorrow night. Low 65. And for Wednesday, clouds will give way to some sunshine, lowering humidity. Highs around 80 degrees. With your Racky weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
Okay, so if you heard our last segment, Tim Uhlhoff from Biola, you know, he travels around and he does these marriage conferences. He said to New Mike on the phone as he was leaving, hey, I'd love to come into Pittsburgh and do a free marriage conference. I mean, you know, there are so many.
That would be awesome.
Family Life Today
this is
does
what,
them.
Yeah, and anybody who's putting on a marriage conference and just trying to invest in people, I think is a great idea. But there's something about Tim that I really like because he's just plain spoken. There's not a lot of... I mean, I don't react all that well to, like, the emotional, like, super sappy type of, like, let's all love each other thing.
Well, that's why we get along together so well, because we're pretty much cut from the same cloth there.
So I like how Tim approaches it.
Yeah, me too. He's
and
straight
so
ahead.
And so I would totally – wouldn't that be awesome for us to host that?
He's fabulous.
We would really love that.
Yeah.
Look who's walking in the door.
What the heck's
going on here,
man?
It was like we were talking about free stuff. And the next thing, Ralph Crewe from the Carnegie Science Center walked in.
He's got the golden ticket with him.
Maybe Ralph's the one who's going to be doing the marriage conference.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fabulous.
We were talking about
because we saw his marriage photos, which we loved.
We really did.
Oh,
yeah,
my
put
gosh.
Your headset on, Ralph.
Yeah, hey, Ralph,
welcome
good to see
hello.
You.
Hello.
Yeah. We were just talking about maybe us doing a marriage conference, not John and I because we're not married.
No.
Right.
Have you ever been to one?
No, I have not.
You're newlywed. You're fairly newlywed, aren't you?
It's been 6 years.
Does it's time for marriage conference.
No.
You need one right now, buddy.
I feel like I could always get better at it.
Of course, that's it. It's a skill set.
Yeah.
How about the marriage conference you went to with your wife and you got in that big fight?
Oh, no.
Oh, man. That was rough. Yeah, this was years ago. Maybe, I don't know, I might have been 15 years ago. It was down at the Vista.
It's the Doubletree.
Whatever
it's
called.
I don't know what it's called.
I was like, you want to go to this marriage conference? I was like, great. You know, we were super excited. We're driving to the marriage conference. And we got hot. I mean, it got hot fast.
Oh, no.
So we parked the car. We are literally, people streaming into this nice hotel on a Friday night. We are standing at the front door. And she's going, I'm not going in there. Are you going in there? And I'm going, if you think I'm going in there, you're crazy. I'm not going in there. Oh, man, did it get hot. We went in eventually.
Is there like a special triage section at a marriage conference? Like when things are really bad, they put you in a specific location.
That's what was going on. We were bleeding everywhere.
Like first are there special parking spaces for that? Like I feel like there could be a whole section.
And someone's walking by going, hey, that's John off from Word FM. Hey, how you doing? God bless you, my friend. It was rough.
Oh, that is sad.
That is rough. Anyway, Ralph's here.
Hey, Ralph. Good
Hello.
To see you.
Glad you brought that up.
Thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you here. Okay, so you're in your monthly slot, program director for the Carnegie Science Center, and I am super excited because of the Da Vinci thing.
Yes.
Okay, so talk about this. Why are you laughing?
We're going from demonic
possession. It's a hard swing over, but it's a worthwhile
thanks,
swing.
Ralph.
I totally believe we can do it. Yeah.
So Da Vinci is, we have this amazing traveling exhibit all about Leonardo Da Vinci from his engineering works and his inventions and his art. We have a full-scale Last Supper and a whole lot more. And we are in the home stretch. Our last day for it is actually a week from today.
Okay, so we have to go.
Labor Day.
We absolutely have to go.
You have to come and see it.
It has to happen this week.
When you say it's a traveling exhibit, put on by whom?
So it's put on by this group of like Da Vinci people, and it travels the world. It's been all around the globe. And that's part of the cool thing about our new PPG Science Pavilion, the new part of the building that we added on very recently. Is that we can now host these world-class exhibitions. We have this beautiful gallery with very controlled conditions, and it's just an amazing space that we can put well, truly world-class exhibits in. And Da Vinci is one of those, and it's been all over the world. It's been all across Europe and Asia and, into, of course, into, through the United States. And then we are – so we're in our last week for that. If you haven't seen it, it's a must.
Mm-hmm. We've not seen it.
And then we're actually getting ready after that. That'll leave, and then we're going to take a, about a month to tear that out and then put in a new exhibit. We're going to be doing mummies – of the world.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah, so.
Holy smokes, just in time for the fall season.
Yeah,
right?
It's mummy season.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know it is, sure, it's mummy season. Okay, well, first of all, let's take a break. But when we come back, I want to go back to Leonardo.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about that dude, because talk about someone who could function at the highest capacity in multiple disciplines.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, that dude next, here on The Ride Home.
101.5 WORD.
Every marriage has areas that are working and others that could improve. The Focus on Marriage assessment will help you discover and evaluate 12 essential traits to build a relationship that thrives. It's free. Take the free assessment by logging on to our station website and use the keyword marriage. Also, win an all-inclusive marriage retreat with a cabin, meals, and retreat activities, and $1,000 to cover flight and incidental expenses, plus a free ebook download of date night ideas.
Take your marriage from good to great. Register for the marriage getaway at wordfm.com/marriage.
The Steelers, Penguins, and Pirates are successful sports teams because they have a plan and they stick to it. Before their games even start, they know what they want to do and how they're going to do it. The same is true in retirement. Do you have a game plan, or are you just going to wing it when that day comes? I'm Ethan Lane, Associate Advisor at Accurate Solutions Group, where we strictly focus on retirement planning. We help people retire with confidence, clarity, and independence. Give our team a call now to start building your own retirement blueprint. 412-515-3555. That's 412-515-3555. Don't be unprepared. At Accurate Solutions Group, we can help build you a plan to get you to and through retirement successfully. 412-515-3555. That's 412-515-3555. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with Extreme Detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters. Always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville. For the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
Does Christian education mean less opportunity for your child in areas like the arts? At Trinity Christian School, it actually means more. With two theatrical productions each year and a musical every other year, plus choir and band starting in fourth and fifth grade, led by accomplished teachers like David Minifield of Saltworks Theater and band director Joe Petrin of the McKeesport Symphony and Duquesne University. Opportunity awaits at Trinity Christian School, ranked among the top K-12 schools in Allegheny County. Trinity Christian School at trinitychristian.net.
With a new college semester right around the corner, your student might need a new mattress for their apartment or dorm. At the Original Mattress Factory, we hand-build twin extra-long mattresses and box springs that are commonly used in college dorms. In fact, we offer twin extra-long mattresses in a variety of models to match every budget and comfort preference. And we can deliver to anywhere in the U.S., including colleges and universities. Visit originalmattress.com or an Original Mattress Factory store near you to learn more.
Ralph Cruz with us. Ralph is the Program Development Coordinator at the Carnegie Science Center, an exhibition that will leave a week from today, Da Vinci, on view now. This is very cool, Ralph.
Yeah, it's super cool. If you haven't seen it, and, you know, I mean, he's the quintessential Renaissance man.
He sure is.
Right? That's why we call it a Renaissance man, when someone's like him. Like, that's, that's how big a deal this guy was.
He was the prototype.
He was. I mean, he, from like, drawing prototypes of, like, all the way up to, like, a helicopter, right? Like,
parachutes.
He made designs for all sorts of stuff. Scuba suits. He was all into sorts of, like, he built a tank. But he also, of course, painted the Mona Lisa and the Last Supper and the Vitruvian Man and so much more. It's really amazing to see someone who had this sort of thirst for arts and sciences. Mm-hmm. And at a time when that was – I mean, it was the Renaissance, so people were getting back into that kind of thing. But I mean, he set a pretty high bar. I actually don't think anyone's ever passed that bar in some ways.
It's kind of rough.
Isn't it strange to think that a mind could be that mechanically advanced and artistically advanced? Mm-hmm. Because usually you don't see those together.
You know, I feel like more and more I see overlap between the two.
Oh, tell me.
You know, like I grew up, I'm from a musical family. I actually went to music school before I went and studied science. And I see a crossover between the arts and the sciences. And I think there's a lot of natural interplay that happens there. But yeah, you're right. And often when people get up to a professional level, you have really analytical, almost cold people. Right. And then you have really passionate artists.
I can see it in music more because of the mathematical connection, especially between jazz and math, right? Because jazz is math, basically. It is with some. But
it's cool.
It is cool math. And there's an element of beauty in both things, in math and music.
Absolutely.
And so I get that. But to me, the interest is in the visual art
and
the mechanical thing. I mean, the same person that paints the Mona Lisa is thinking of the helicopter. It's just fabulous. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. He was really brilliant. Brilliant guy.
How about his notebooks?
So,
is there anything about that at the exhibit?
Yeah. So there are. Not only do we have, we have copies of notebooks, and you can see some of his writing, and you can learn about how he wrote in this sort of backwards mirrored style. He wrote with his left hand backwards, so you had to use a mirror to do it. Not only do we, of course, have information about that, and you can see what that looked like, but you can try it out yourself. And we even have this interactive exhibit. You can sit down. And we have a mirror set up, and you can try to, and no one really does it very well, but you can try to write like Da Vinci.
But why did he do this? Was it just his natural style, or was he trying to, hide, or was it code?
Are those who say it was code, but, if you wanted to do code, you wouldn't have to, you'd not even use your own language, right?
Right.
So I think that some of it was, I think it was almost rewarding for him to write in this way. Uh-huh. It's a little tough to get inside the mind of somebody like this.
I can't imagine.
You know, so
did he start at the? In addition, did he write backwards, like starting at the end of a notebook and going backward? Like, are his diaries in reverse?
That's a good question. Uh-huh. So I haven't gone through his diaries, although we do have some experts in the gallery that you can come up and interact with, and they'll be able to give you more insight on that. But I don't know. I think maybe. I don't know. I don't want to say one way or the other for sure. I'm not.
Okay, so the exhibition, you walk through, and so there are people there who guide you through the process.
So we have a whole staff of people who are in there. They can help explain things to you. We even have some members of our staff who have college degrees that are related to the subject and are experts on it. And it's really – so one of my favorite things about the Science Center is that we're not just a museum where you come and you look and you're like, ooh, that's nice, and then you walk away. We have an interactive experience.
Hands-on
exhibits. But also we have amazing people working there who who absolutely love talking and answering questions. And they'll answer questions at any level, whether it's the most basic of like why did they call him Da Vinci or whatever, all the way up to the mechanics of his notebooks or his engineering and anything in between. And I really recommend that people come and take advantage of that. The staff members, of course I'm biased, I sort of grew up and as one of those staff members, but really the people we have, we're very lucky at the Science
Fabulous.
Center.
Okay, so it ends Labor Day. So that,
yes.
All right, so now we're at the change of the seasons. As Da Vinci ends, then a new exhibition, The Mummies, come in.
Right, and it's Mummies of the World.
Thought mummies were mostly Egyptian. If I was going to be honest, I thought that they all
only,
were.
No, that's not.
Listen to how he's so condescending about it. Well, no, Kathy, what a silly idea. Who would think that?
Well, Egyptian mummies are certainly the most famous of the mummies, right? And when we look at the old horror movies of the mummy, it's always an Egyptian, and they wrap up in toilet paper or whatever.
Here comes Boris.
We are going to have Egyptian mummies in this, but we have mummies from all around the world. There are mummies, for instance, one of my favorite kinds of mummy are called bog mummies.
Bog people.
Yeah, from the British Isles, and they are people who were their deaths were somewhat controversial. They may not have. It may not have gone so well for them. But
exactly. It might not have been natural causes.
The way that they were buried in peat bogs meant that normal bacteria that would cause processes of decay and sort of break down your tissues couldn't happen because a peat bog is anaerobic and acidic, and just the things that normally would make a human body decay don't you know, exist in that environment. And I think that one of the most interesting things about the mummy's process is that we find out it gives us this insight to the sort of microscopic world, and why is it that some bodies are preserved where most aren't, mm-hmm. you know, and what are the characteristics of those? And then, of course, it's an amazing anthropological insight to all the different parts of the world. I mean, we have mummies from South America, mummies from Africa, mummies
really?
From Asia, all over the world. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a really amazing exhibit. And, of course, I mean, it's happening. You know, the exhibit opens in October. Actually, tickets go on sale the day after Da Vinci closes. So you can get your
Next
tickets
Tuesday.
Ahead of time.
Now, is this a standalone like the Da Vinci, or is this something that's self-produced by the Carnegie?
So, no, this is also traveling the world. This is a world-class exhibit. It's one of, if not the best, mummies exhibit on Earth. And it's really something to see. You know, I've been able to consume some of the media and see videos of what the gallery is going to look like, and it's amazing. It's surreal, and it also, I think, hits these notes of interest. If you're whether or not you're interested in microbiology, or if you're interested in world history, or all sorts of other fields, you know, there's a lot going on.
I see.
All right, I was just looking online because Mike pulled this up for us. So the Da Vinci exhibit, so if you want to get in for that, tickets are available online or you can get them in person,
yes.
right? Also the same thing for mummies. So mummies, does it start about – what's the first date of that?
So the first date is near the beginning of October.
Okay.
I don't off the top of my head have the exact date, but it's in the first week or two of October.
Right. So this is – Ralph, just as a side point, people might be thinking, well, is this scary or is this – you know, for my kids, is it going to be okay? This is more scientific. This is not about Halloween.
Yeah. It's not spooky mummies
right.
in the world.
It's actual scientific.
Although, I mean, there will be human remains there. So, you know, it depends. Like, you do want to go in there.
Actual human remains.
Yes. Yeah. So these are real mummies that'll be there. So,
really?
Yeah. So there is that. So, you know, and that may be something that you should have a conversation. If you're going to bring your family down.
It's a real person.
Before you get there, you may want to talk about that. But it is not set up. There are no jump scares. There's not going to be, like, spooky, like, organ music in the background. I guess organ music isn't what they...
No, that doesn't sound right anyway.
I guess I haven't watched a lot of very old horror movies. But it will not be a scary exhibit. Of course, you know, you will have to talk about things. You know, it's a death exhibit, so you've got that. But
yeah, that's cool.
I think it's very cool.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
science there, and there's also art around it as well, isn't there? Because
absolutely.
If people were interned, they had all these artifacts with them.
Right. So death rituals around the world are a big part of anthropology and archaeology,
and a big part of spirituality.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that you know, has changed in many ways, both across cultures and across time within similar cultures. You know, Egyptian mummies from 4,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago are going to look a little different than mummies from hundreds of years after that time too. And I think it's interesting to see the story that is told by observing the differences in death rituals that people have done across the millennia, really.
Right. I wonder what the latest, you know, example, are people still mummified today in cultures, or, you know, because we think of it as thousands and thousands of years old.
Right.
But I'm sure there are some that are fairly recent, you know, in the span of time.
Sure. I mean, I think it also depends on what you define as a mummy. You know, even standard Western techniques, embalming.
Sure.
Makes a big difference. You know, I know that the body of Vladimir Lenin was embalmed
right, sure.
in a special way, and he looks
he's still there,
like the guy still 100 years later. So yeah, I think it's definitely
whether that's
still
been helpful
happening.
Or not is
right.
another question.
I saw Lenin. I went to Lenin's tomb.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
How's he doing?
I mean, you know, he's clearly dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. But it was worth it. It was, you know, kind of cool
yeah.
to go in there.
And then there are actually some more really modern techniques, the plastination. You may remember about a decade ago, the Science Center had a bodies exhibit.
Right. Not without controversy.
Right. There is a lot of controversy around those exhibits that are going around out there. But those are, in a way, you know, mummification.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do think it's something that is ancient and also something that is modern.
Very nice. Take a break. Come back. Ralph Crews with us from the Carnegie Science Center. It's the topic of Da Vinci and mummies here on The Ride Home. I mean, you can have it both ways.
Dr. diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to Word listeners everywhere. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Now you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. There's even a great body pillow. Perfect if you happen to be a side sleeper. Regularly $89.99, but with the promo code WORD, you can get one today for only $29.99. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and 10-year warranty. It's MyPillow's way of saying thank you for all your support. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the body pillow for only $29.99. Enter promo code WORD or call 800-391-0954 for these great radio specials. That's 800-391-0954 or MyPillow.com, promo code WORD.
Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
The return on my investment has been beyond my imagination. I always wanted to be a great dentist, but what I wasn't prepared for is the relationships that I'm able to develop with my patients.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Hi, this is Brad Marshall, General Manager here at Salem-Pittsburgh. If you're listening to my voice right now, you're a listener to our station. If you love this station and you have experience in sales, we'd love to talk to you. You already understand our mission and what we do, so now maybe you'd like to join this team. If you have sales experience and understand digital marketing, we might have a job for you. Call me and we'll discuss the next steps. Call Brad, 412-503-4770. If you love us, come join us. It could be a life-changing opportunity for you. You'll never know unless you call.
Talking to Ralph Krupp, Program Director at the Carnegie Science Center. It's one of our favorite segments of the month. We've just been hearing about the Da Vinci exhibit, which closes 1 week from today. So if you're like me and you have not gotten down there.
Well, you missed the Apollo. Did she miss the Apollo?
No, we're still showing it, although I don't know how much more time the movie's going to be showing. So if you haven't seen it, come see it. That one especially touches me. Well, you know, I'm a planetarium and observatory kind of guy, and astronomy and space exploration is amazing. And that movie is made entirely of authentic footage from the event, right? So it's not actors and sound stages. It's actual Neil Armstrong, you know?
On 60 millimeter.
And a real Saturn V launch. And it's on a screen that's 70 feet wide.
Super cool.
It shakes your bones.
We have to do that.
I keep on saying, but you know, you're busy.
Both of you keep looking down your nose.
You just got stuff going on in your life.
You
got
to come down.
I'll get you in.
Okay, what else? For people who have never been to the Science Center, what can they expect if they walked in?
Well, we've got a lot of cool stuff going on. Every day we have amazing programming, from our planetarium to our live science demonstration theaters, which are an awesome experience. Some overlooked things. People sometimes miss that. We have a submarine in the river.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Which is incredible.
Have you been there?
I have.
Oh, it's super cool.
It's amazing. It was built in 1945, right at the end of the war. There's a ton of history. It's all authentic. It's an amazing experience. But, you know, we have SportsWorks with their ropes course. And also, if you have, like, a really energetic child with
you, that's the place you should take them.
Oh, my gosh.
They'll wear right out.
When our kids were especially small, you know,
three, we were there all the time.
And you just go, and it's totally safe. It's this big, wide-ranging thing, lots of hands-on stuff for your kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's fabulous.
Yeah.
But now I love what you're doing with the, you know, bringing exhibitions you would not normally bring in.
Yeah. We're able to do stuff on a level that we haven't been for many years because of this new addition that we put in, and it's really a special thing. And we also have a lot of special programs that people may not know about. One of my favorites, and I'm totally biased because I get to run it, is something called Skywatch, which is an observatory program. We have telescopes on our roof.
Nice.
Right now you can see, the next one is going to be on the 6th of September. You can see the rings of Saturn, the moons of Jupiter, and our moon will actually be in perfect viewing that night. If you haven't seen that stuff, we have a big telescope that you can look through, and it's, I mean, it's a pretty striking experience. The next one is on the 6th of September.
All right.
Also, if you're a space person, we have science lectures every month, and it's on the first Monday of every month, which is Labor Day. So the very last day of Da Vinci, if you happen to be there, right after the Science Center closes, we have an evening program designed for adults, although anyone can come, and it's a science talk. Our speaker this month is a retired scientist from NASA. He was an imaging specialist on the Hubble Space Telescope for like 20 years.
He probably knows some stuff.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I think he took the best pictures in history.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, what does better pictures than Hubble?
No, nothing else.
And also, of course, great, great science, you know. So, we have so much going on. You got to come see us.
Nice. Ralph Crewe from the Carnegie Science Center. Get on down there, right? Whether it's movies,
I'm getting down there this week. I'm doing it.
All right. Are you?
Yeah, you want to come?
I'd love to go see the Da Vinci.
All right, let's do it.
And I want you to see the film.
I know.
We've got
to see the film. You've seen it twice.
Yeah, I love it.
You'd see it a third time just because you want to go with me?
Yeah, definitely.
You're
please
nice.
Do, yeah. Hey, podcast is up and running, johnandkathyshow.com, wordfm.com, and God willing, same time tomorrow. Have a great night.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.